Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, we welcome you to this segment. It is with Mufti Farhan Karani. As you know, on our Thursday segment, we have Mufti Sahab. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah,
thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Sahab doing?
Alhamdulillah,
shukr to Allah. Shukr, alhamdulillah. The latest fitna out there, Mufti Sahab.
Today I just want to discuss, inshallah, we're going to start the series of zakat.
Gee.
The importance of zakat and the masail pertaining to zakat. Because we find that many people do not discharge the zakat correctly. They just assume that they have so much of wealth, and then they just, according to that, they discharge the zakat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المصدقين والمصدقات وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا أو كما قال آية الكرسي إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة and another ayat Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ فَرِيضَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ. And so Allah Ta'ala in various ayats of the Quran Kareem mentions the importance of zakat. And then in the one ayat Allah Ta'ala mentions the recipients of zakat. And then in many ayats of the Quran where Allah Ta'ala mentions that those people who bring iman and they could do good deeds, and then Allah Ta'ala says that when they establish salah and they pay their zakat. So wherever amanu is, aminu salihat is, salah, aqamu salah is, and wa'adu zakat. So that shows the importance of paying zakat and establishing salah. So the second pillar of Islam is salah, and then the third pillar of Islam is zakat. So the importance is there. It is farad, it is compulsory. In the ahadith, there are many, many warnings for those people who don't pay their zakat. For example, on the day of Qiyamah, a person who did not pay his zakat, that wealth, that gold and silver that he hoarded and he did not pay his zakat on it, that will be made in, to be heated in the fire of Jahannam, to be made into slab, heated in the fire of Jahannam, and the person's forehead, side, and his back will be branded with that wealth that has been heated in the fire of Jahannam. And then another punishment for a person who doesn't pay zakat, will come in his wealth will come in the form of a huge serpent. Mm. And that serpent will coil around him. And then that serpent's head, it will continuously bite the person in his head and sink his poison fang into the person's head and say, I am your wealth. And you did not pay zakat on me. This is your punishment. And this will continue until the day of Qiyamah. This is now in the in Barzakh. This is the punishment for a person who did not pay his zakat. So say, I am your wealth and I am your treasures. And you refuse to pay me in zakat. Now this is your punishment. You must face this punishment now. So there are very, very severe warnings for a person who does not pay his zakat. Now, many a times a person, you will just see, okay, maybe he has a shop. So he has all his stock on his computer. So he says, okay, I have a million rand stock. Okay, I need to pay 25,000 in zakat. Okay. So he thinks it's so easy. It's not so easy. You do not know how much of stock you actually have in your shop. You assume because the computer says you have a million rand stock, that stock could be inflated, and that stock could be some stock then not even reflecting on the system which is there in your shop. So you have to take physical stock of your shop at the end of each Islamic year. Now, depending on when a person first gained his nisab of zakat, that will be the starting point, and that will be the date on which he has to pay his zakat. So After a person becomes Bali, now it becomes further upon you to pay zakat. So when a person is not Bali, then there's no zakat on you because you're not Bali. So once you become Bali, now you have to pay zakat. Like your salah becomes farad, and now you're zakat, and you have to go for hajj, you have the wealth, and you have to fast in the month of Ramadan. So zakat becomes farad upon you. Now, for example, if you got nisab of zakat on the 10th of Shawwal, for example. Now, the following year, 10th of Shawwal, this will be your zakat date. So why is it so important to consider the Islamic date? Because as Muslims, our lives revolve around the Islamic calendar, not around the English calendar. So that is why it's so important to make a note of when I have to pay my zakat. You can't take out zakat anytime and just say, no, okay, I'm taking my zakat out now. And so you have to take out your zakat on a specific date every Islamic year. Right? So now, how much wealth does a person require to pay zakat? And how much wealth do you require to pay zakat? So zakat is based on two factors. One is the silver price, and the silver, and one is on gold. Right? So the silver amount is 612.36 grams. Right? So 612.36 grams of silver, and the gold amount is 87.48 grams of gold. Now, the Sharia has stipulated that if a person has the nisab of zakat, now how do you now take out, do you consider the silver price or the gold price? So the fuqaha have said that the price which is more beneficial to the people and which is more affordable to the people, that more people will pay zakat. And more people will pay zakat. So you consider that commodity for the nisab of zakat. So in our instance, silver is cheaper than gold. So therefore, we take the price of silver. So for example, if gold was cheaper, then we would take the price, the nisab of zakat on gold. But because 87.48 grams of gold will be, so say for example, today the price of gold, 1 ounce is like 65,000. So that's 31 grams times 2 is 62. So you're looking at about 100,000. No, sorry, about 150,000. 150,000 rand. If you calculate the nisab on the gold price, it will be about 150,000. If you have 150,000 or more, then you have to pay zakat. But it's not like that because the price is calculated on silver because silver is less. If you consider the silver price, then more people will pay zakat. And that's what you want. So, 612.36 grams of silver. I don't know the rate today. Well, do you know the rate perhaps?
Gee, the zakat nisab, just give me a moment. I'll check it. The current, as we're speaking, currently it's about 14,016 rands and 68 cents. Okay. So we can round it off to 14,000 rands.
Okay. If a person has 14,000 rands, the today's price, today's silver price, then you have to pay zakat. You have to pay zakat if you have 14,000 rands. Whether it is in cash, whether it's in gold, whether it's in silver, whether it's in stock of trade. So you will have to pay zakat. So say, for example, today you got 14,000 rand. Now, so this will be your starting point of your zakat calculation. And so that if this is the first time, after you became Bali, you got 14,000 rand, you got the nisab of zakat. So today will be your... So you say the 11th of Rabiul Awal is your zakat date. So next year, if you still have the nisab of zakat, which is not going to be the same, it will be either inflated or surprised. So next year, 11th Rabiul Awal, we'll have to see now. have the nisab of zakat? Yes, I have the nisab of zakat. So how much money do I have right now on hand? Okay, I got this much money. Right. So I have to calculate 2.5% based on that amount. Right. So so now what if a person, so if a person has the nisab of zakat today, right, and 2 months down the line, he doesn't have the nisab anymore. He doesn't possess the nisab anymore. Right? But then 3 months later, he has the nisab. And it goes on like this here until he comes to the end of the year, the next 11th of Rabiul Awwal. We said this for example purposes. Then if he has the nisab on that date, he will have to pay zakat. And if he doesn't have the nisab, he doesn't have to pay zakat. Right? Now what happens if a person becomes completely bankrupt? He becomes completely bankrupt. He owes more than what he has. His liabilities are more than his assets. Now what must he do? So we will say now this is like day zero. So now when he gets nisab again, then he will now start his new zakat date from that time when he has the nisab again, more than the nisab minus all his liabilities, everything he has excess, which is equivalent to the nisab. Now he has to start his zakat here from that time. So now a person has assets, right? What is assets? He has gold, he has silver, he has stock of trade, he has jewelry, anything he bought with the intention of selling. And so that will be considered as those things which you will calculate zakat on. And then you have liabilities, money you owe. You owe people money. So, for example, you have 100,000 rands. You have 100,000 rands, and the 100,000 rands is including your cash, your stock of trade, and your gold and silver, right? And you owe 120,000 rands. You owe 120,000 rands, but you only have 100,000 rands. So on the day of your zakat discharging date, this is your situation. You owe 120,000 rand and you have only 100,000 rand. So you do not have to pay zakat because your liabilities exceed your assets. And your liabilities exceed your assets, then you do not have to pay zakat. Let's take another scenario. You have 100,000 rand, but you owe 80,000 rand. You have 100,000 rand, you owe 80,000 rand. So your difference between what you owe and what you own is 20,000. So you actually have 20,000 extra, 20,000 after paying your debt off, you have 20,000 rand. Now, if you consider today's nisab of zakat, it's 14,000. So you above the threshold of the nisab of zakat. So you have to pay zakat on that 20,000 rand you have. To pay zakat on that 20,000 rand you have. Let's just go through it again. A person's liabilities and the person's assets. And you say if the assets exceed the liabilities, then you pay zakat. And if the liabilities exceed the assets, then you don't pay zakat. And now, let's take some examples here. If a person has, say, 1,000 then, okay, let's take a realistic number, 100,000 then, yeah, person has 100,000 then, assets. Yeah, and a person's liabilities are 150,000 then. So because he owes more money than what he has, so he doesn't have to pay zakat. Now, if you take the other scenario, where his assets are more than his liabilities, so he possesses 150,000 then, and he has a debt of 100,000 then. So the difference between his liabilities and assets is 50,000 then. And 50,000 then is more than the nisab of zakat, which is 14,000 then. So therefore, he has to pay zakat on 50,000 then. Yeah. Hope the listeners understand that. Then, carrying on. Now, what do you pay zakat on? Right. So, right, this is important to understand that anything you possess, which is gold or silver, And anything you possess, which is gold or silver, whether it be jewelry, whether it be utensils, whether it be ornaments, anything, and maybe it's a watch, anything you have which has gold and silver, pure gold and pure silver in it, you have to calculate that amount of gold and silver in your zakat calculation. So, although it will not be permissible to use cutlery which is pure gold or pure silver, it's not permissible to use that, but if you have it, maybe you bought it for investment purposes or something, right? If you have, right, so if you have anything like this, which is gold and silver, so you have to calculate the amount of gold and silver that is in those things, in those items. And then you will find out, calculate the price of it, the current selling price of that grade of gold and silver. And so it, the silver is normally just sterling silver. Right? Gold, now you'll get starting from 9 carats, 12 carats, and then you get 16, 18, 21, 22, 24 carats. Right? So based on the grade of gold you have, we have to find out the selling price of that grade of gold, and then you multiply it by the grams of gold you have. I don't think people have kilograms of gold. And so you calculate it on the grams of gold, and then you will get an amount, and that amount will be the amount you have to pay the zakat on that particular, those particular items which are of gold and silver. Now if you have, so that is pertaining to gold and silver. Now if you have, for example, cash. So maybe you have dollars, you have riyals, you have pounds, you have rand, like you've got different currencies. So now you have to see now which currency am I going to give the zakat in? Am I going to give the zakat in rand? Okay, fine. Now I have dollars. So I have to calculate how much rand is all my dollars worth. Right? How much is it, for example, I have $100. Okay, so I have $100 is worth, what, like 1,800 rand, more or less. So now I have to calculate that, put that on my asset side. It's okay, I have 1,800 rand of dollars in rand, right? So I put it in rand value. I have riyals, okay, times 5. Okay, I have maybe 500 riyals, so I have 2,500 rand here. Right? So that is how you will put on your sheet there, on your spreadsheet, whatever you're using, to calculate all your items of worth, all your items of value. Then you have a stock of trade. So like we said in the beginning, a person has a business, his computer system shows that he has 1 million rand stock, but if he goes to take physical stock, he might have 1.2 million rand of stock, or he might have only 800,000 rand of stock. But you cannot rely on that. Because why is it so important to take physical stock is, if you have 1.2 million rand of stock and your system shows I only have 1 million rand of stock, now you are going to give zakat, you are not going to pay zakat on 200,000 rand, and you're going to be paying short 200,000 rand. So that is why it's so important to take physical stock. Close your shop for 1-2 days and take a proper count of each and every item. And some businesses are easier to take stock. You have like big items, you're selling like maybe generators or something like that, or you're selling cars, very easy. And, other businesses are more difficult. You have a supermarket, you have to calculate every box of chocolate and sweets and everything there in your shop, small things, you have to calculate the price on it. Then the question comes with, on what value should I calculate my zakat on? And so to say, for example, I bought an item for 100 rand, and I'm selling it for 120 rand. I bought it for 100 rand, and I'm selling it for 120 rand. Now, the question always gets asked is, must I calculate my zakat on 120 rand, or must I calculate my zakat on 100 rand? Yeah. So you have to calculate your zakat on the current price. The current price, that if I'm going to buy this item today, how much will I pay for it? If I'm going to buy this item today, how much will I pay for it? So as a business, like you bought the item for 100 rand. You bought the item for 100 rand. So if you're going to replace this item today, how much will it cost you? It will cost you maybe 105 rand, and because of inflation, and you because the supply chain is selling price. So when you're calculating your zakat, you are going to buy this item for 105 rand. So now you have to calculate your zakat on that specific item for 105 rand. And so you are not going to calculate the zakat on 120 rand, because that is your the price that you're selling it for. But if you're going to buy this item today, you as a business are going to pay this amount, 105 rand or 100 rand. And so you have to calculate your zakat on the price that you are going to buy it for. Right? If the gold or silver is not pure and it's mixed with other metals, and it's mixed with some alloys in it, then you have to see, like we said, you have to see now what content of gold and silver is in this item. You have to see now what grade of gold it is, 9 carat, 18 carat, etc. And then we will calculate it according to that. Right? So now sometimes a person has, okay, so listeners must have come across something like this, that if you have 9-carat gold, you don't pay zakat on it because it's not pure gold. Right? Now, if you only have 9-carat of gold, if you only have 9-carat gold and you have some wealth, cash, whatever, and everything goes above, it exceeds the threshold of the nisab of zakat, then you have to calculate that 9-carat gold value. And because it is gold, although it's not pure gold, but it's gold in your possession. So if with that 9-carat gold and all your other assets, it exceeds any type of zakat, then you have to pay zakat. You have to calculate that 9-carat gold value also and include it in your zakat calculations. So one can understand from all this year that how important and how meticulous a person has to be in calculating his zakat. And so you have to, you cannot make assumptions of how much of wealth you have, and based on your assumptions, you calculate your zakat and just discharge your zakat. Because if you give less zakat, then that wealth that you didn't pay zakat on, it will be turned into blocks of metal in the fire of Jahannam, and it will be heated in your face, in your forehead, and back, and sides will be branded with it. So, and it will turn into a serpent, the Day of Qiyamah, and then it will be biting a person. So, do we want that there? It is why it's so important to calculate our zakat meticulously. And say, for example, I have to take out a 10,000 rand zakat, and so, it will not harm me if I take out another 100 rand or 200 rand, and maybe I made a miscalculation somewhere and I didn't calculate my zakat correctly. So that will offset it. And so to be sure that I paid my zakat correctly, keep a little bit more zakat than what I calculated, because I could be wrong. And if you give extra, and then that extra will be considered as sadaqah. So whatever you had to give for zakat, it will be discharged, and the extra will become sadaqah. So it's always better to give a little more. So we just came to thus far today. Inshallah, we will carry on with the remaining laws of zakat next week, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib, for this. It's important to discuss this, as recently I've heard also many people saying, but we pay tax, and tax is almost the same meaning as zakat. So it's these basics which seem so obvious to some, because I think when I look back and I just appreciate our maktab teachers, how much of time they spent with us on these issues, that now it seems so obvious. And these things, when you try to learn it later in life, it becomes difficult. That is why, once again, we stress to the parents, make sure your children go for to the maktab. I was just telling my father last week, and one of the, I think the teachers were there, and this teacher always says how I used to, you know, we were naughty back then and the rest. But my father, he made sure you have to go to madrasa. And he'll always do a checkup to see and check with the students and check with the neighbor. The daughter there next door would report to my parents to see if I was in class at that time, because we were young then, we're speaking about before reaching the age of maturity and the rest. So she would report. And if I was not there, the principal sends a message with her to say I'm not there. But today I appreciate my parents for keeping me in there, even though I was trying to break out of there. And what we learned is we can't pay them back for those things. Mm-hmm. And these basics, just any person, you just tell them that how can tax and zakat be the same? If they've been to maktab, they'll understand, of course, this is so obvious. But if you haven't been to maktab, which we have to see in that light, then is, or that darkness, not light, is they will think, but we are giving our due and respect. But the zakat can only be given to Muslims, and the investigations has to be done if those are poor Muslims or not. And there's so many aspects to it. So, Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah Khairan for informing us. So, inshallah, next week we'll continue with the same topic.
If you have any questions or some listeners sending some questions, I think inshallah we can see those questions also.
Okay, at the moment there isn't, but from next week, before we start, I'll say if there's any questions, then listeners can send it through, inshallah.
Okay.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib, make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.